Here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, founder of the Heartfelt Foundation, and other organizations dedicated to improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about MSIA.
And just anything that's irritable, tapping pens, taking coins and flipping them on something to listen to the noise, until people start going crazy saying, "Would you go home early?" And you go, "No, I don't want to go home early. I want to sit here and I'm having a good time." I used to put quarters on my knuckles and roll them back and forth like this. And then I got good and I moved to dimes. I started out actually with 50-cent pieces because you're clumsy, it takes a little. But when you get down to dimes, folks, you try it, you're going to find out, oh boy, you won't really know talent. I can't do it now because hands are old. Isn't that a wonderful sound? What I've just shown you there is how the body is put together in the physical and the invisible. How it functions through all that has taken me 20 years lecturing. This is 2,399th lecture tonight about this. There is an area here. Now, I'm just going to do these in initials. And let's start down here. The physical, and the astral, and the causal, and the mental, and the etheric, and the soul. If you want to remember it, it says PACMES backwards, PACMES. Yeah, it's a mnemonic device to memorize things. Over here is what's been referred to in a lot of groups as I am. We call it inner awareness movement. And we put the soul up here, and it's called the spiritual inner awareness movement. And that's what we're doing here, is just moving the spiritual inner awareness through the levels of consciousness when we feel like it. When I feel like it, I move it. Most people are running victim consciousness. It's called, look what's happening to me. It's terrible. When am I going to get mine? Well, the question is, when are you going to go out so you can get yours? If you withhold yourself from your life, and this is where it gets in the more serious thing. This area here, we would call life, as we know it in this physical body. This is the life. Outside of this, there is another existence that is independent of us. And this existence over here that's invisible actually makes up 2/3 of our existence. 1/3 is seen down here in the physical, and the other 2/3 are here in the astral, causal, mental, etheric, and the soul. So we could break this bottom part off physically as 1/3, and up here into the mental as 1/3. So we've got 1/3 here, 1/3 here, and 1/3 here. And we're putting all of our energy in this lower third, disregarding the other 2/3, and the other 2/3 is where the key to success is found. But if you forget this third, if you forget it, you pay the price. It's called tuberculosis, cancer, let's just call them dis-ease, if you forget this. But the body itself is inherently capable of maintaining and healing itself. The mechanism has been in. God wasn't a dummy. He fixed it up real good. And I don't know if you know, but when we were made, we weren't made out of secondhand stuff. We were made of prime material. And when he made us, he didn't use up everything. He left a lot over. So there's a lot of energy left over in here that we just call the spirit. That spirit pervades all of existence. Physicists look at this widget I've got here, and through their method of investigation, they'll say there's more spaces in there than there is solid. You go, that's crazy, you know, because I can't hold space. I can't hold air. They say, yes, but you see, they're looking at a level that is invisible to the physical ability to see. But they prove it time and time again because of the way they take their information and do other things in the physical world with it. We go, how on earth could they have done this over here from this here? Well, that's the ability and the training they've had. They didn't get that from staying down here in the physical or just daydreaming or letting their emotions run them or just sitting there mentalizing. Do you know what mentalizing sounds and looks like? How many of you have ever heard of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum? Yeah? The song goes, double your flavor, double your fun with double good, double mint gum. Double your flavor, double your fun with double good, double mint gum. Double your flavor. So you can just go on and on and on. You can do anything else. And just, some of you still doing it? That's mentalizing, just over and over. You'll get a song coming through your head, and you're doing a lot of things, and that song keeps going, going. Pretty soon you go, stop, I don't like gum. I'll take Chiclets. Give me a Jawbreaker, a jelly bean, anything. But don't give me the mentalizing where we just go repetitively over and over. But we can take that repetitive ability and build into it step-by-step affirmations of how we want our behavior managed. Most of us have a degree called management. We are to manage our body, our emotions, our mind, and people will not manage their emotions. Do you ever see people get mad and just yell and scream at somebody because somebody's not doing what they want them to do? Well, the person who's doing what they're doing is just doing what they're doing. But the one who's yelling and screaming is not managing their emotions. Their emotions is running them like the cigarette was running me and the coffee was running me. Until I started managing my physical body and what I started to take into it, then I was being managed by it. Some people get anxiety, depression, because they won't manage their emotions. They say, oh, it's okay if I go ahead and do this. We go, watch it. Every time you do that, you end up depressed or full of anxiety. Well, I got this urge. Control the urge this time. No, I'll control it next time. No, this time. They go, why? Because this is the moment where you have the challenge. I quit smoking 100 times after a cigarette, but never just before the next one. The time you quit is just before the next one. If you want to lose weight, the way you lose weight is not on the last meal you ate that you're finished with. It's the next spoonful that's going to go in your mouth. That's when you start managing weight control. If you get this, how simple it is. Some people, every time their elbow bends, their mouth opens. It's like their elbow's connected to their mouth. Then we go, wait a minute, you don't have to open your mouth. In fact, if you really want to cure yourself of eating, put a mirror in front of you and watch yourself as you eat. You get so disgusted, you quit. Then you wonder why some people don't want to eat with you. You know those little things you get on your face from eating? They're called WOGs. W-O-G-S, WOGs, yeah. You know, like food, the food jumps off, it gets in your beard, your mustache, or... Yeah, it's called a WOG. Fish WOGs stick more. And the next thing will be soggy bread wogs. I don't know if you knew that, but when you're out at a restaurant and somebody's got a wog on them, you can spend all afternoon trying to get them to take it off. Like you go like this. And the person will start mimicking you. Pretty soon they're going. Then they do this too, as though they didn't know the wog was there. They know. We, in our group, we just tell them, look, if you see it there and it bothers you, just either reach over and take it off or tell me and I'll get rid of it. So we say, you know, you got a wog there or something like this. Well, see, it's amazing called you are participating in your life with the other person. And the other person, they're participating in your life with their eyes and their anxiety called, do I tell them what's on their face? I remember telling a friend once he had some... piece of bread hanging on his lip. He had a bigger bottom lip than mine, and it was just hanging there. And I was watching that, and he said, what are you looking at? And I said, you got a piece of bread on your lip. He said, of course, I'm eating. And I said, would you mind eating the bread that's on your lips so I can get on with this? Because I don't know which way that thing's going to go. And we're up against a real tiebreaker here. You know, out of pure spite, he'd just sit and balance that thing. Finally, I just reached over with the napkin, I went like that, and just flicked it across there and just got it just perfectly. And he said, how'd you learn to do that? And I said, I was sitting here practicing how I was going to do that. I didn't know if I was going to hit you in the face or the eye, but it just clicked it right off, just as slick as a whistle. I've been going to do that since, but I've never had the nerve. But I do know this. If we see it real clear in our mind, real clear in absolute detail, we can bring it about in the physical world. The first time may be clumsy. People in this world do not want to make mistakes. Folks, you are a mistake. We are. I mean, we're supposed to come down here and do this in one, and Adam and Eve weren't supposed to have messed off. In fact, I was watching Archie Bunker last night, and he did in a nutshell. He said, God created Adam. Then he took a rib out of Adam and created woman. And that's why she's cheaper. Well, ribs are cheaper than the whole thing. Now, we know that's true, don't we? You have to have seen it to have really gotten it. If I were an Archie Bunker, I'd really tell you a lot of things about that. How many here do read the Bible? How many of you read the Bible? Do you know that, well, you should. It's good literature, even if you don't care for the storyline. It's good literature. Did you know the Bible talks about baseball? First thing out, it says, in the beginning. Eve took first. Adam took second. Ruth was in the field. Abraham sacrificed, and the prodigal son made it safely home. If you don't enjoy reading the Bible, find out what's hidden in there. You know what I say? I'm just telling you, it's a lot of fun. All of us, just a lot of fun. With that fun comes the unifying of the consciousness. All of this comes together. It just comes together. How? Folks, I don't know how, or I would just hit you and have it come together. But I know that you all can make it come together. You all. Where are we? How far south are we? Each one of you can make it come together.
Not too far.
Not, I'm not...
Y'all.
Yeah, well... No, I'm going to hold that up till I get real south. Each one of us can... by taking managerial control over our body at any given moment and every given moment. When we think we've got to pop the pill, snuff the coke, smoke the marijuana, whatever any of those things are, at the moment that comes in your mind is the moment decision has to be made. And you manage your mind. How many of you ever saw the movie called Fatso where Dom DeLuise was eating? And he was very heavy set, and his brother was put his plate on the table by him. He looked at him, he says, you don't know how to run your plate. And it amazed me that he had it down how to manage the food to get it in his body so he could get more in there. That's managing from the outside in. We're going to have difficulty whenever we try to manage from the outside in. If we take and read a recipe out there about a cake, we don't get to eat the food off reading the recipe. We can read a water almanac and thirst to death. But if we go and take it from inside, then we get to create out there what it is we really want, and we have the ability of creation in us. We have the ability of creation. Interesting thing tonight in the entertainment section, we had a lot of poetry. Now, I don't know if you know it. But poetry, if you're right-handed, meaning the left side of your brain is control, is a right hemisphere activity. If you're right-handed and you're right-eyed, the left side of the brain is controlling. If you're left-handed and you're left-eyed, the right side of the brain is controlling. Either way, when you read poetry, it opens up the other side of the brain and starts activating it because of the nature of poetry. When you sit and listen to it, some people go, I don't like poetry. Let me have my gun and shoot somebody. See? Let me get out there and tune up my car. Something's wrong in the car. And they go back and they sit there and they go, gee, I don't know, something's wrong with the car. And they stop thinking for just a second. The brain flips over. The creativity goes, aha, insight, comes back across. And we go, well, maybe it's over here. And you pull it off and there it is. And somebody goes, how did you know that was under there? And the answer is, I just knew. And we say, you can't just know. Yes, you can just know. We do it all the time. Women are supposed to have had the sixth sense. They got all the money, so we know it was more than six. But it is insight. It's intuition. It's the aha, the eureka approach. And I'll tell you something. You can change over the brain hemispheres by how you breathe through your nostrils. Just breathing through the nostril. Just switching them back and forth, and the brain will start to switch over. The first few times you do it, you go around clacking like a chicken, and somebody tells you, you know, you're really out of it. So after that, you learn to do it in private. Now, if you do that a whole lot, you're going to get a headache. You should know that. So take a couple Excedrin and then start. Oh, I know that sounds crazy, but that's called managering, not management. No, I would suggest you don't do it till you get a headache, but to practice doing it. As a matter of fact, when you breathe through the right nostril, it actually goes back up into the right side of the brain and affects the right side of the brain. It doesn't cross over here at the glabella as the eyes do from the right and the left brain hemisphere. Isn't that right? About the glabella and the changeover? Isn't that right? This is the first time you've heard about this, right? The air. It goes right up and affects the right side, and the left goes up and affects the left side. Now, the yogis knew this, God, 10,000 years ago, even though the Bible says it didn't start then. Sorry, you know, they got records written and they dated it. And just learning to breathe through that. What's funny is, in our nature, in our body, the nose will switch back and forth unless you got pathology normally. Normally. You want to dream? If you're right-handed and you sleep on your left side, your right nostril will open. If you lay on the right side, the left nostril will open. You may find out certain times you lay on a side, you get these funny, strange dreams. It looks like there's a steamship coming across the ocean and it just went through the house. Now it's a train and flying through space. You wonder, what kind of dream was that? I see somebody shaking their head like, I had it, yeah. It's a multi-level dream that cuts through all the levels. So you got something physical, imaginative, emotional, mental, unconscious, and there's a spiritual thing attached to it. As a matter of fact, Edgar Cayce said something. I haven't read all his work, but he said this statement. Great things happen to us, and before they do, we are shown them in the spirit. He said in the sleep state. But when we go to sleep, we may not go to the unconscious. We may go into the spirit. The Bible, it says, Paul said, I know a man that was in the spirit. And it says, if you want to know God, worship God in the spirit. It doesn't say worship God in the flesh. It says, get up here in the soul. The soul's connected to the spirit. And at that moment, you can have total fulfillment and worship because you are spiritually alive. Cut off this spirit, and the body stops walking around. It will still grow for a while because it's set to grow for a while. Hair will grow, fingernails will grow, proteins being used up. Cut off the spirit, it stops. This will stop first. The physical body goes first. It lays down, you go, he's dead. But then somebody comes along, brings him back alive, and they say, he wasn't really dead. And he's saying, I was up above you all looking down, and you were pounding on my chest, and I wish you wouldn't do that because it hurts. That's the astral level. Some of them float up real high, and they get up, and they have this tremendous, wonderful feeling of being one with God, but they don't remember anything, and they didn't see anything. and they didn't see anybody in the room. But they have this tremendous euphoric sense of consciousness. Then they get up here in the mental, and they're away from the body, and they're up in the mental realm, and this great being talks to them, or somebody comes and sees them and says, go back. Well, that's what it boils down to. What they're really saying is, we reject you. You know, it's okay to be rejected by bodies, but when spirit rejects you, it hurts. But we feel more hurt when another body rejects us. You're not going home with me? Oh, God, I'm going to go kill myself. Just don't make a mess. Why? Well, everybody's going to die. I don't know if you know that. The body. The astral body has a double body around it that has all of our unconscious mechanisms of this world and everything we've done, and it hangs around us. Sometimes we feel a little fat at times. It's because we've got things that we've got to do and we haven't done them. We've tucked them in the baggage around us. And as soon as we go and handle it, we go, God, I feel like a load's off my back, like I can, breathe and stand up. That's right, folks. There's a lot of truth in that when that happens. But when we die, that unconscious is identified with the physical body and it knows that it gets its energy off the astral field. When the physical body dies, that unconscious body wraps itself around the astral body for life, to get life and energy. And if the astral body doesn't know enough to shake it, you got what we have, an earthbound spirit. And you see them walking through the halls of London and old quaint homes and things like this. And they come and sit on your bed and hold your hand. And they can do this for, my God, 1,000 years. So if we know that that's going to take place and we leave the body, and we know how to leave the body because we practice that, when this physical body dies, the unconscious starts up and we just shake it loose through willpower. You don't belong here. And it drops away. Pretty soon, we can drop the astral body and go up here this way into the causal body, which is an emotional body, and it can be seen. A lot of the spiritual leaders, and let's say psychics and clairvoyants, and they aren't necessarily spiritual leaders, they have a talent and ability, can see these and differentiate them. And as we come up here, we can drop this emotional body, the causal body, and we can come up to the mental body. And then we drop, and this is really important. A lot of people have seen God in this level. I saw this being, and I talked to this being, and they said they were so-and-so. It's amazing. If you're Buddha, you see Buddha. If you're Christian, you see Jesus. If you're Jewish, you might see Moses or Joshua or Jeremiah or somebody else. If you're Hindu, you may see Shiva, Vishnu, Brahma. Whatever it is that you are conditioned down here to study and believe in influences what you see up here in your mind. If you've been taught that hell is your next step, when you die, you go right over here to this little place called hell. What's the bad news about that? It's warm all the time. What's the good news about that? It gets hot enough, everything that's unpure gets burned out, and you stand free. What's the good news about hell? If you didn't clean it up here on this level, you get to clean it up over here in hell. It just all of a sudden took hell out of the danger zone, didn't it? But look, that doesn't mean mess around and take a side trip. That's why we're here now, because we messed around and we've taken side trips. We're now here looking at, well, let's see what my side trips have done for me. When we come up here in this etheric, there's this great cosmic mirror here. And this is a void. And if we can get through it, and a lot of people have, they've come back with new religions. I saw the face of God. In fact, the guy traveled through his own physical body, mental, emotional, etheric, into his own universes, came up against the etheric void and saw it and said, I saw God face to face and it was myself. Didn't get out of his own body. When it says worlds without end, they're not talking about that out there. That also, but inside of us, is the micro as well as there's the macro out there. And we're sitting as a pivot point between two dynamic areas. We have difficulty with that if one starts to take over control more than the other. But if we can actually make ourselves available to both the macro and the micro, make ourselves available. And how do we do that? Meditation, prayer, spiritual exercises, loving, caring, serving here in this physical world. We make ourselves available to all of that. We can do that. Forgiving is one of the first steps. It goes like this. I forgive myself for all the junk I ran on me thinking I was running on them. If I get angry at you and you walk out the door and I'm still angry, guess who's hurt? Me. And if I don't tell you, it's even worse. So one thing, when I get angry, I got to let you know, so at least you get to suffer a little bit. You're going to suffer until you see the next person that you like, and then you're going to forget that I was angry. And once in a while, it might come in, maybe 10 or 15 years later, say, yeah, GR's angry one night. Poor guy. Hope he's over it. And for 20 years, I've been being angry at you. Now, folks, that's called stupid. If you ever wonder what stupid is, that is it. And we do that so we know we all got some stupid in us. I love my dad. He'd beat me at the belt, and when the beating was over, it was over. My mother, she'd beat you, and then she'd yell at you for 30 minutes later on, 40 minutes. She'd say, Mom, she hit me, yell once, shut up. If we get into this I am, this is what the movement teaches, how to transcend across from the physical, the astral, the causal, the mental, the etheric, how to get across there through spiritual exercises. We can get in this right up above it and come up above the soul level. And above all of creation, which is above the soul level, we get to then go down and we can correct the things in our lives that weren't correct. And we can make our life wonderful and beautiful, and we find out we could have done it without going up to the top to do it. And that's managing yourself moment by moment, decision by decision, and knowing that there are consequences coming if you do it the wrong way, so you pull yourself in line and do it the correct way. That's called living your life right now, and we call it health, wealth, and happiness. Berush Beisham.
John Rogers' closing words were Berush Beisham, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.